It's time for Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports Time is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you on this Thursday afternoon, a very busy Thursday afternoon, especially here in the city of Memphis. A big day for the University of Memphis as they made a big announcement earlier today. Big announcement just a few minutes ago as Penny Hardaway has picked up a commitment from Fred Smith Jr., the forward from Briarcrest. We've got the Masters going on, some day baseball, a lot of basketball to discuss. So a lot going on around the sports world. But Brett, how are you this afternoon?
Brian, I'm doing well on a day that, you know, I don't think there was anybody not thinking that it was going to happen, really, on both announcements. The late, great Fred Smith's company and the logo patch on all the uniforms for his beloved and that company's beloved University of Memphis. Then no relation, Fred Smith Jr.,
yeah,
making the announcement to play college basketball at the University of Memphis. So Both, no surprise, but both real good to hear and have the confirmation of both big announcements.
Yeah, it definitely is. We have talked a lot over the last couple of years about the commitment from FedEx, but obviously the jersey patch only, you know, kind of strengthens that and highlights that commitment from FedEx to Memphis Athletics. If you missed it, starting on August 1st, college teams are able to have corporate patches on their jerseys, and obviously with that relationship to FedEx. You've seen a couple of other schools around the country announce deals. Memphis also announcing that deal earlier today that all 19 men's and women's athletic programs will have a FedEx patch on their jerseys. I believe the jerseys that the teams will be wearing in the spring game, at least the way the statement read, will have the FedEx patches on them, but they will not be able to be used in actual games until August. So you'll start seeing those in the fall with football, some of those other fall sports. We'll see them in basketball and so forth. So definitely big there to see that. And then, like you said, the commitment from Fred Smith Jr., one of those where, you know, it felt like everyone was, you know, as close to 100% sure as they could be that he was going to ultimately choose Memphis, but it was a long wait and see. But now we finally have the announcement and the commitment, the second high school recruit to commit to Memphis after Cello Jackson made his commitment back in November. So two local guys, even though Cello Jackson finished his high school career down in Miami, they'll both be here next year unless something changes, but it looks like all indications pointing to both those guys will be in Tiger uniforms next year.
Two that you had to get, and the Tigers got them. Coach Hardaway got them. Congratulations. And I guess the first football appearance of the jersey patch will be week zero in Vegas against Dan Mullen and the Running Rebs.
Yeah, so it'll be a road game, but, you know, seeing
that'd be on TV.
Yeah, and see that FedEx patch there will be cool. You know, the university and FedEx, they have not been shy about, you know, their relationship, and, you know, we've seen it grow over the last couple of years. Last year with the logos in both end zones at football games, I thought was really cool to see. And so now that you're able to, you know, I think everyone knew once this was put into place that you would see Memphis and FedEx form some sort of deal to make sure that happens. And obviously getting that done today, big news, and will be fun to see. I know with the spring game, I keep calling it the spring game. I think they're calling it Fan Fest on Saturday for Tiger football. They're doing, I think, the first 1,500 fans in the doors will get a kind of shirt jersey with the FedEx patch on it. So they're going all in, really pushing it with Fan Fest this weekend. And then, yeah, it's gonna be different to see those logos on the jerseys, but it'll be a lot of fun next year.
It will be. There was a time in the John Calipari years, and he had such a great relationship with so many, starting at the very top with Mr. Fred Smith, the late, great Mr. Fred Smith. But John Calipari had just really wonderful relationship that every Tiger coach before and since should have with FedEx for all they do for that program and around town and, you know, employees and just everything that they do. It was really close. Dave would know this story better than I, but it was really close that John Calipari, and he went to R.C. Johnson and said, we're going to do it. FedEx kind of demurred from it. They said, no, you don't have to do all that. He wanted to have a one game with those colors of FedEx with in the Tiger uniform motif.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard about that, and yeah, so I mean, there's been that type of relationship. It's just now
he said, "Heck, I'll change the nickname if we have to."
Might as well, but you know, now that you can actually have that outward relationship with these companies, makes it a lot easier, and it makes it a lot better for everybody involved.
I think that was R.C. Johnson and the administration and university's reluctance of we can't get in trouble, and you know back then just. You know, sneezing was an infraction to the NCAA, so they were very reticent to do it. But he was ready to do it then, and now you can, and great for the university.
Yeah, no, it definitely is great for the university. So two big time announcements, and obviously now Penny Hardaway and his staff turning their attention to the transfer portal, and we'll see when they start kind of getting some traction on guys and start seeing some commitments. The only commitment I've seen so far for a Tiger that is now in the portal, Simon Majok. Earlier, it was announced that he has signed with Nevada. So a very weird, interesting story there. Would love to be a fly on the wall and be able to get the entire story, because he told reporters over the weekend when he entered the transfer portal that he wanted to stay at Memphis, and that it was kind of his agent's idea to enter the transfer portal. And I think it was Parthu Padja I saw with the tweet earlier today saying that when he talked with him, that he indicated that he had not spoken with any other teams. He didn't know what kind of his quote-unquote market would look like out there. And then just a couple days into the transfer portal being open, he is now signed with Nevada. So very fast there. Would love to hear how that went down. But he is the only, so far, Tiger that has entered the portal that I have seen land at a new school.
Brian, if it was the proverbial, it was the night before Christmas, what's the wish list, do you think, among Tiger fans, not of Penny putting together a team, but of Tiger fans to get some buzz? Mm-hmm. Would it be PJ 1, Brumbaugh 2, DJ 3?
I would say so, yeah. I would say so. That's at least what I hear from friends of mine, and kind of what I see on social media and different things like that. I think, because you've already seen that it works with PJ, and you've seen that success, I think a lot of people would really love to see PJ Haggerty back. Yeah, and then obviously Brumbaugh and what you've seen from him in the conference and in the American and against Memphis, he's certainly high on people's minds. And then obviously DJ Wagner with kind of everything, a lot of different aspects there, sure. SEC experience, the history there. There's a lot of reasons why people would like to see him in a Memphis uniform. But I would say it starts with PJ Haggerty. I don't know where Memphis will stand with him, and I don't know kind of what that will look like to get him. I know LSU is probably going to be involved and will be involved to try to get him. So we'll see what it looks like over these next couple weeks.
If you got a capable point guard, I would say somebody like Doug McDaniel. Mm-hmm. If you got somebody just that capable at point guard, and you got two of the three wish list, you're in the game.
Yeah, I mean it is you start with that guard position and you try to get one of those big names, and then how do you build around him? Do if you bring in PJ, do you try to bring in a kind of more kind of low key facilitator, kind of more structured point guard, or do you just let him run the show? Brumbaugh, I think you feel a little more comfortable with the ball in his hands as lead guard. Obviously, DJ Wagner running the point for Arkansas a lot. I feel comfortable with him. How would you build around each of those guys if you are able to land a commitment from one of them? It's a lot of spots to fill with Fred Smith's addition. Barring anything with Aaron Bradshaw, I'm not including him in this. You have 11 spots that you're able to fill for the Tigers. Only four guys right now committed to being back. So, there's a lot of work to be done. And, obviously you'd love to get one of those big fish. And if you get those, I'd be very curious how you build around them. If you don't, where do you go from there? And how do you build this roster?
This is a question. This is not a statement. This is a question mark at the end of this. Rowan Brumbaugh, are we sure he's that good, or was he that good in the American?
If you're just asking me in terms of Memphis, I don't really care. I mean, I want him to be. We've seen what he can do in the American, and that's
play more American games than you do any other.
Exactly, and so I don't know. I think there's a lot to that because obviously he spent the last couple of years at Tulane. Before that, was at two power conferences. Did he just struggle there because he isn't built for that level and struggles at that level? Or was he just young? You know, we were talking about it with Kevin Sweeney yesterday, talking about some of those guys on that Michigan team where, you know, they really struggled at their previous spots. And was it just fit with Michigan? Or was it that, hey, they just developed and they grew as players as they got older? So I hate to, you know, be kind of in the middle of I really don't know when it comes to him.
And what if he gets somewhere and he has that year, which he's already had better years leading up to his last year of college basketball, and it really clicks like Dalton Kennett?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. And that's, you know, I really don't know what I haven't seen anything about Rowan Brumball since he's entered the transfer portal and kind of teams that have shown interest in him. So I don't know, you know, is it, you know, a bunch of, you know, high, you know, power conference teams that are going after him and it feels like, you know, he'll have plenty of offers to choose from, or are some teams kind of picky of, hey, you haven't proven it at this level. I was on
I wouldn't be that picky.
No, certainly not.
Would not be.
But, you know, I like I've seen I think it was evanmia.com the other day. They have him as a five-star. I don't know what, you know, any of the other sites have him listed as in terms of stars. It just jumped out to me when I was going through the site the other day that he was a five-star there. So it feels like he'll have a lot of offers. I feel like, you know, it will probably be tough for Memphis to land him. You know, obviously you have an assistant now on staff that can help things out, but it feels like he's going to have a lot of offers to choose from, and it could be a difficult spot for Memphis to try to land him.
Tigers with a logo. Boy, we're the logo team today, aren't
right.
we?
Yes,
with
we
our
are.
Augusta National
yes,
hat and shirt on. Your hat's great.
Thank
I love
you.
It.
Thank you. Yes, this was I told you, I don't like taking it out because I don't like getting it dirty, but I was saving it.
You can't swing a towel these days without hitting
a
Masters logo somewhere around town, can you?
That's very true. But yeah, I was saving it, waiting until we actually had you know, real action to whip it out, and wearing it today, planning on wearing it tomorrow and through the weekend as we got action rolling.
My two golfers off to a really stellar start, a collective nine over. Bryson DeChambeau has four of the nine, and Minwoo Lee the other five. Way to go, team. Way to go. You know what doubling zero is going to be on Sunday when I send out the results?
It's going to be zero. It's going to be zero. It is going to be zero. Yeah, I watched and paid attention a lot this morning. I have not been able to pay attention as much over the last hour or so, but the last time I was able to check, Bryson was starting to kind of blow up, and it sounds like things have not really gone
triple
much
bogey
better
on 11.
Yeah, I saw
and never
that.
Was in the water. Spent a lot of time in the bunker.
It's hard to do. Hard to do.
Really
usually,
is.
Usually there's some water involved somewhere. But, yeah, it feels like, you know, this course is getting some guys. You know, on the flip side of that, other guys that are finding success.
Some got it.
Yeah.
Sam Burns, sure. 5-under. Rory McIlroy, 5-under. Everybody's been waiting on Sam Burns to win. And look at Rory. Maybe speaking on lock, he really is 5-under. Mm-hmm. And it was not one nervy swing shot. Oh no, what are you doing? That a lot of times he had on Thursdays and Fridays.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, we talked about it earlier this week on Tuesday. I think it was when Doug Bell joined us about, you know, how different is he this year now that he's won it? And it's kind of he got rid of all those demons that have been haunting him year over year here. Is it a more relaxed Tiger? And I loved what Doug Bell said about it. Is, yeah, it does feel like he's relaxed, but he might be too relaxed where it's just kind of like, okay, I've won it. Let's just go out here and have fun on the course. But it seems like early here he is dialed in an early lead, and we'll see if he can hold on to that and be near the top and in contention on Sunday.
Look at these names. You know, Rory McIlroy, a winner. Patrick Reed, a winner there. Other major winners like Jason Day and Justin Rose. Scotty Scheffler, two times winner there. Scotty Scheffler's got a lot of holes left to play. He could end the day after 18, after the first round, in the lead. Gary Woodland, a U.S. Open winner, and his wonderful story. He's having a good day. Shane Lowry's won an Open Championship. You know what I said today when he chipped in on 13? Way to go, Shane. You shot 81 on Sunday last year for me. 81. A pro golfer shooting 81.
Oh,
I haven't let it go either.
No, clearly not. Yeah,
Xander Schauffele right there at 200. Fred Couples. Is it 1992? What's he doing?
Good Lord. Yeah, 200 there. I gotta love it from him. Yeah, so, I mean, some big-time names up here, and that's what you
really is.
What you expect and what you want to see at the Masters.
a lot of times, you know, on Thursday, we'll get the Gary Hallberg and the who's he and Mike Donald, and they all kind of go away by the weekend. But this is a big splash.
Yeah, it is. It's a really nice leaderboard, and you know, we'll see how it wraps up today and tomorrow, kind of going into the weekend when really all the fun starts. But it's been a really, really fun time this morning watching all this action, seeing these guys out here. And now we've got broadcast actually on ESPN, which is nice. A little hard today to find actual coverage of shots and different things. I know it was on...
Oh, that website's great.
The website's really good. Prime had it for 2 hours, I think, this afternoon. I was watching a little bit of that. I think they will also have it tomorrow, maybe. I'm not sure what it looks like for them throughout the rest of the week. But yeah, you have to go searching for it. It's not kind of like some of these other tournaments where it's all right there on ESPN Plus. I mean, you got to go to the website. You got to go to Prime. You got to really go and find it to see all of these shots at the Masters. But we'll talk a lot of Masters throughout today's show. But let me set it up before we get to top and not top story of the day. 3:30, Grant Hall. He is at the Masters covering his 44th straight Masters. Just incredible. A Northwest Arkansas media legend and obviously knows a thing or two about the Masters. So we will talk to him here in just a couple of minutes. Plenty to discuss with a really great start to the day at the Masters. We'll do that in our next segment. 3:45, we'll stay on that topic. We'll give you a Masters update, talk about some of these guys near the top of the leaderboard, some other big names and where they're at as a lot of guys starting to wrap up day number one. At 4 o'clock, Keith Smith from SpotTrack and the Front Office Show. He'll join us. We'll talk the NBA as only a couple more days left in the regular season. We'll talk Grizzlies, but we'll also talk everything else going on in the NBA as it feels like the biggest story out there is tanking. Players coming out talking about it, the commissioner coming out and talking about it and wanting to put an end to it. So we'll discuss that at 4 o'clock. 4:30, we'll talk Grizzlies and we'll talk some NBA. The Grizzlies, they were in action last night on the road in Denver, and for a while there, it looked like deja vu. It looked like the Grizzlies were going to go out there and beat the Nuggets again, but not so fast. They knew what they were doing, ultimately losing that game to the Nuggets. 4:45, big number of the day. 5 o'clock, Greg Gaston, he'll join us, talk Tigers. Obviously, a lot to discuss when it comes to the Memphis Tigers with all the news today, but also news over the weekend last week. Plenty to get to with Greg. 5:30, we'll talk about what's trending, and at 5:45, we'll wrap up today's show like we always do with Moe's Crunch Time. Let me remind you, we're in our Family Leisure Studios, where family and fun come together. The Floor Model Spa Sale, it's going on right now at Family Leisure. It's time to make room. Deep discounts on over 100 display models and in-stock hot tubs, swim spas, and cold plunges. Have you been dreaming about a new spa? Well, now is the time to buy. Spas as low as $99 a month with over $1,000 in free upgrades with every spa purchase. $8,000 spas, only $159 a month with free LED lights and a waterfall available on most models. Head out there to Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40.
We are Sports Time, live and local, and with you until 6 o'clock. We want you to be a part of our show by texting or calling 901-360-8255. That's at the Sissy's Log Cabin text and talk line. All our guests will join us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line at 901-360-8255. Our producer is Landon Schmidt, co-host Bryant. I'm Brett, and we're Sports Time, and we want you to be a part of our show. Give us a call at 901-360-8255. We're always live and always local from our Family Leisure Studios. And this hour brought to you every day by the great people at Lexus of Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway and online at lexusofmemphis.com. Great offers on all 2026 models and always special leasing options. Drive in luxury and confidence, knowing that every new Lexus comes with complimentary first and second maintenance services. You can call them at 901-334-9673, but they invite you to stop by the only Lexus dealership in Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway, and that's where you can put yourself in the driver's seat of the all-new 2026 flagship LS500, and you will be looking and driving in style. When you purchase a Lexus, you get top-of-the-line engineering and design, and they make for the safe luxury driving experience. Online at lexusofmemphis.com. Experience amazing. Experience amazing at Lexus of Memphis.
top story of the day.
Well, my top story of the day, it is all the Memphis news that we have gotten over the last couple of hours. Earlier this morning, the university announced that starting in August, all men's and women's teams will wear a FedEx patch on their jerseys. That means for most people, you will see that patch starting in that week zero game against UNLV on the football jerseys, but that will go through with every other sport and just highlights the
soccer really kicks the year off for everybody.
It does.
In mid-August.
Soccer, I think there's another sport in there that I always forget about that kind of gets started around the same
time. It gets
time
it going.
As well. But yeah, those really get us going. But you know, for a lot of people, when they turn on the TV, they'll see it on those football jerseys. But it really highlights that continued support and commitment from FedEx to the university, that relationship between the two sides. We saw it start a couple years ago when Fred Smith gave the big donation for the stadium renovations. Then the next year, it was the NIL deal. Then after the house settlement, they had to change that NIL deal to kind of make it work more for the rev share model. And now with the jersey patches, it again, just adds to the list of things that FedEx has done for the University of Memphis and the athletic department. So that will be a lot of fun starting in August, like I mentioned. But we'll see Fred Smith Jr., no relations, like you mentioned earlier, Brett, wear that patch in November. That's because just about 30 minutes ago or so, a little bit less than that, he announced his commitment to the University of Memphis, now the second high school recruit to commit to the University of Memphis, joining Cello Jackson. As long as both those guys stay committed and are on the court in November, that will be the most freshman Memphis has had, true freshman on the team since 2023 when they had five out there. But after that, it's only been one here or there. It hadn't been a lot of the true freshmen, but we'll see two natives on that team next year with Cello Jackson and now Fred Smith Jr.
Brian, I know some were properly concerned, you know, at Mr. Fred Smith's passing of would the company and the family continue to want to support the Memphis Tigers in so many ways, athletically and others. Well, I think that's been answered, and we love the answer. My top story, round one completed for some, underway for others, near perfect conditions at Augusta National. Sun splashed and resplendent, firm and fast. May have to pour the water to it by the end of the weekend, or it could get almost, the greens could get almost out of control, but they can control all that. And the drone shots on TV, aren't they spellbinding? You know, forever, there was never going to be the blimp shots at Augusta National. That was ruled out a long time ago. But to now, you know, just above the treetops, to have the drones and the technology with all that, Jim Nance with one utterance, that rolled the odometer over to 41 masters. That breaks Vern Lundquist's record of 40. I love the leaderboard. It looks like Sunday afternoon, but it's just Thursday.
That's right. Just getting started.
Not top story of the day.
Well, my not top story of the day continues to be the NBA as we get closer and closer to the end of the regular season. That will wrap up on Sunday, and then the playoffs will begin. The play-ins get started next week, and I think going to be really, really intriguing. The news coming out earlier today that Joel Embiid is undergoing an operation later this afternoon for appendicitis. So, not good news for him. Him or the 76ers, but what does it look like in the Eastern Conference? Some fun teams out there protected, some fun teams in that play-in area, and then in the West, we know how strong it is, how tough it's going to be for any of those teams to make it out of the West. The Thunder doing again what they did last year, looking like the cream of the crop. The Spurs not far behind, but then you go into that kind of next tier of teams, the next three or four teams that you never know could get hot, certainly have the players and the team capable of going out there and winning a couple series. So I'm really excited for all the action to get started next week with those play-in games, and then we'll get the actual playoffs. But for those other teams, the tank, it will be completed on Sunday, and then they'll start looking to the draft lottery and start shaping up for the 2026 NBA draft.
Have you ever had an appendicitis attack?
I have not.
You're lucky. I think I lead the world with appendicitis attacks to still have my appendix.
Okay, interesting.
And big New Year's Eve 2005 attack. I was getting ready to leave for the Liberty Bowl. Boy, it hits. To the emergency room, had to pull the plug on going to the Cotton Bowl. And was going to go to the Cotton Bowl the next day. It was going to be like January 2nd that year. two friends of mine that are doctors are standing over me while I'm being examined or been examined. One saying take them out, one saying leave them in. I'm always going with the leave them in. No surgery. Too many things can go wrong.
Well, yeah.
My not top story, Grizzlies accomplished last night what they needed to in Denver. They needed to lose. Those two wins since March 3rd. Why win either one of them? Chicago at home by one March 28th and that game against Denver on March 18th. Winning is not the object, and it hadn't been since the shutdown of Ja and the elbow injury back in January. Those two wins really could cost lottery odds. Let's hope the biggest win of the year is Sunday, May 10th, with the ping pong balls falling the Grizzlies' way and they somehow get in that top four or five.
Yeah, it's going to be the next big date for all Grizzly fans once the season. I think it already is the next big date for most Grizzly fans, but certainly after that game on Sunday. But that'll do it for top and not top story of the day. Let's get to our first break, and when we return, we're going to talk the Masters. Grant Hall, he's covering his 44th straight Masters. He joins us next on Sports Time.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day at Sports 56 WHBQ. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats-Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you, and we've got to talk the Masters as round one underway. A lot of guys already in the clubhouse as we're starting to slowly wrap up day one. But joining us now to talk some Masters, he's covering his 44th straight Masters, a Northwest Arkansas media, just absolute legend. Grant Hall, he joins us now. Grant, thanks so much for joining us. It looks like a picture-perfect scene at Augusta National. What has been your biggest takeaway from day one at the Masters?
Yeah, it's just been a beautiful week. You know, there have been some weather problems, as you know, in recent years, but this one looks pretty good. It was cool. It was like 45 degrees this morning, but sunny, and it's going to get, I think, on up to the 80s by the weekend. So no rain in the forecast, knock wood. And I've actually been here. This is, I think I've been here 9 days. I came for the women's amateur because we have a kid from the University of Arkansas, Maria Jose Marine, who won that thing.
Yeah.
And kind of became the sweetheart. She's just really a great kid, about 5 feet tall, you know, and hits it great and made a lot of admirers. She was here Sunday helping with the presentation for the drive chip and putt, you know, awarding the 7-year-old girl, I think, that won. And now she's back home in Fayetteville taking a victory lap, doing press conferences.
Well-deserved victory lap. She was just top shelf, straight, first class. She was just precious to listen to, and how gracious she was in victory, Grant.
Yeah, a great family, and she's going to go ahead and do the 4 years at Arkansas. Probably could go on out there and start making money, but made that commitment. She's going to get a degree, and get to do this at least one more year with her next year. And Arkansas had a kid finish 10th, too, Reagan Zabilski. Not so successful with the men. Two guys that got in here, Nico Echeverria, who made a good run last year, shot 7 over today, Brett, and the other kid, Matteo Pulcini, who won the Latin American Amateur, was 8 over going into number 18. So looks like it might be a short week for them.
Yeah, but they've got some memories, but they don't have the memory bank that you have. 44, you got 50 in your sights, don't you?
I hope so. You know, the guy next to me, Lauren Smith, is 87.
Yeah.
And I talked to another guy named Phil Schaefer today, who's been to 55 of these things. I was just talking to Jaime Diaz and Bob Herrick. They both have done 40 years here, I think. And
yeah.
Bob, by the way, has got a new book coming out. I just saw a copy of it about Jack and Tiger. So that's pretty timely. And, but, you know, I think really, the news today is probably Rory McIlroy shooting this 67. Jack Nicklaus said this morning he thought there was a chance Rory could repeat. You know, only Jack and Tiger, I think, have done that isn't that right, in the Masters, to win back-to-back years. So Rory is the guy that has a chance to do that this week.
I love Jack Nicklaus, but I think sometimes he sets that bar to let's just see if you can get over it, big boy, like when he said Tiger was going to win as many as he and Arnie combined. That was 10. I don't think he really ever thought that. I thought he was just, go ahead, take a run at it, Tiger. And Tiger made a good run at it, didn't he?
Well, he was on a pretty good pace, and he got those injuries. And someone said, Gary Player was saying this morning that a Navy SEAL guy told him one time that when Tiger did that training, he would pay for it later in terms of his legs and his back. And no truer words, I guess, were ever spoken. That, I mean, not that it's all related to that, but he's had his issues.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have our buddy Dan Reardon from KMOX in St. Louis on tomorrow. He's in that same that same odometer count of you for attending.
I just saw Dan to talk to him at great length about the Cardinals a while ago. And, he's going to hit number 40 next year. He's 80 years old, man, and I think he looks younger. I'm in my 70s, but he's still going strong. And we're sort of cautiously optimistic and encouraged about the Cardinals, who were, according to Sports Illustrated, were supposed to win 69 games this year. And right now they're over 500. So
what do you mean cautious, really, Grant? On these airwaves, I picked them 2 weeks ago to not only to win the National League Central and win the National League, but to beat the Yankees in the World Series. And that was only my 24th straight year of picking that World Series matchup.
Yeah, I would say that Dan is slightly less optimistic than that. You know, like maybe 10 under 500 by the end of the year. But what I like about it is they're winning come from behind games. I think they've had more of those than anybody so far. So it's been fun in the early going.
You know, you never want to push anybody out before they're ready. But this morning, and I said it yesterday, I was going to be watching very closely, and I bet you were out there at 86 years young. I can't imagine many more ceremonial starts for the great Jack Nicklaus.
You know, Jack was asked that question by Scott Michaud, who's been around here forever, too. And he indicated that he would like to keep going. The thing that got him today, he's had carpal tunnel surgeries on both wrists like 5 or 6 weeks ago.
Wow.
And he said he was worried about hurting somebody. And sure enough, I think he sailed one over somebody's head. I didn't get out there for the ceremony, but I did listen to them, their 40-minute press conference this morning. Which is always fascinating. There were 35 majors represented in that room with Watson, Player, and Nicklaus.
Wow. We talked about Rory McIlroy earlier. He's at the top of the leaderboard at 5 under, but there was some talk about Scottie Scheffler coming into the tournament about not playing his best ball. But, I mean, you had to imagine, when you're at the Masters, Scottie Scheffler is going to look like Scottie Scheffler, and so far, so good. 3 under through 9 so far. What have you made of Scottie to start the year and what you've seen from him today?
Yeah, I think that that actually taking 3 weeks off before this tournament has been a good thing for him. You know, not since Adam Scott has the Masters winner done that and been able to win after 3 weeks off. But I think in his case, it helped. And of course, they had his second child along the way. It took about 9 days for anybody to find out. I saw Doug Ferguson of the AP talking to him the other day under the tree. And the next thing we all find out together that his wife Meredith had their second child. So he's in a good place right now. 3 under through 9. It'd be interesting to see what he does the rest of the day.
Yeah, I know. He's definitely going to be one a lot of people watch. Guy, I'm going to be watching a lot over the next couple of days. Chris Goddrup, a really fun story. 4 wins on tour before making his Masters appearance. He's even through 11 to start the first round. What have you made of Goddrup over the last year or so when he's started winning all these tournaments? And what have you seen from him kind of this week at his first Masters?
You know, I've got a good friend who really is high on him, who studied. He's at Oklahoma. I think he went from Rutgers to Oklahoma. I don't know how many people have made that path onto the PGA Tour, but winning 4 times in the last year or so is pretty strong. And I thought he would do well this week, and so far he's doing okay.
Who was your pick to win?
Well, I didn't make a pick. They asked for names, and I had the usual suspects with Scheffler and Rahm and McElroy, and I can't remember who. I guess DeChambeau, but now he did not play well today. He was 4 over par. I saw him miss about a 9-foot birdie putt on number one that wasn't that hard a putt. You know how scientific he is about everything, and sometimes you wanted to say, man, just use your feel, you know. But Rory, on the other hand, on the first hole, made a really good par. He was in the trees left and had to kind of punch out, and then made a really nice up and down. And you know, who knows how much that could mean to a round when you don't bogey the first hole. So anyway, that's how those two guys started today.
Yeah, Bryson, he wants to turn everything into long division when he really should just be counting on his fingers and toes, make it a lot easier than that.
Yeah, he's so scientific about everything. And, I mean, the way he stood up over that putter, it just looked uncomfortable to me. I'm sure he has a treatise on why he does it that way. But he's pretty good naturally with golf. You know, he gained all that weight. Now he's lost a lot of it back. Looks good. He seemed quite upbeat early in the week. But, you know, he has to really monetize these four majors weeks because you're kind of out of sight, out of mind on the LIV Tour for the most part. Don't you guys agree?
100%. The only time we ever care about them is when they sign to go to LIV, and then when they play in a traditional major and we talk about them being on the LIV Tour. We don't keep up with LIV week to week. Nobody does.
You know, Tom Watson said this morning that he thought guys that come back from that tour should have to go to the Corn Ferry for a year.
I agree.
Pretty hardcore about that.
I agree. And, you know, Patrick Reed's going to sail back on tour. You know, he might make it, you know, legitimately by winning again this week. Our guest is Grant Hall at his 44th straight Masters. Northwest Arkansas media legend, covered the Razorbacks forever and golf in the state of Arkansas, all sports, everything. Big Cardinal fan, as you can tell. Grant, after last year with Rory winning, who do you think the mantle now has been, it's been passed to for the sentimental winner, for him to pardon the pun, get the albatross off?
You know, strangely enough, this may sound not right because Jordan Spieth has won here, but I think he would really be a popular guy if he could win again after what's it been? I guess it's been 11 years. It seems impossible, you know, since he won here, but he had that great chance and he was leading by 5 shots and made that 7 on the 12th hole and has not quite recovered here, at least from that. So, you know, he had a bad wrist last year. I think he's pretty much well now. He's been playing a little bit better, and I've always liked the guy. I think he's, the last time I looked today, he was about even par through 10, 11 holes. So there's a guy I'd like to see do well.
Did you ever think you'd be covering and following the Razorbacks with such a Memphis and a University of Memphis Tigers connection with John Calipari and his Tigers past and now new coach of the Razorbacks, Ryan Silverfield?
Yeah, I should be asking you guys about those guys. You know, Calipari is pretty popular. He's still, I would say, kind of on a honeymoon period at Arkansas. They, you know, they went 24 years without going to a Sweet 16. Now they've been to 5 in the last 6 years, including 3 under Musselman, who I think probably doesn't get enough credit for the job he did at Arkansas. But, you know, this year they got caught short a little bit with, I would say, not enough big guys. I think they're going to try to address that with what they're doing. They have recruited well otherwise already for next year. Jordan's, you know, Smith, the 5-star guy. And Sean Andrews' kid, J.J. Andrews, is a very good player in Arkansas. So they got basketball going pretty good. From what I can tell of Silverfield, the guy is really a hard worker. You know, I was talking to some of his staff guys, and they've had like 1 or 2 days off since they've been here, you know. And, of course, I only saw a couple of spring practices and then came here. But from what I can just tell and read, of course, everybody's optimistic this time of year. Mm-hmm. And it seems absurd right now to to be bullish on Arkansas football, but it can't get much worse, right?
Yeah. Well, here's what we do know you got about him. We had a producer several years ago here at this station. He's now at ESPN in Bristol, Connecticut, our friend Johnny Hill, and he was a football manager for Ryan Silverfield at the University of Memphis. And Johnny, which he was just such a great young man, almost everybody would accord him this, but he said Ryan Silverfield treated him, a student manager, like he was the biggest booster in the program, treated him great. We know, Grant, when coaches do that, you got a special guy.
Yeah, and they've even reached out to the media in ways that, you know, you don't always see. And this is an interesting story. When Sam Pittman was at Arkansas, he pointed out one time, it's before they played Memphis last year, that on Christmas Day, when Arkansas was practicing for the Liberty Bowl, they needed to get, it was, I think, snowing ice or something, and they needed to practice. And he said Silverfield himself came and let them into the indoor facility on that morning, of Christmas morning. I mean, that's pretty strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it really is strong. I know a lot of people here are curious to see how it works out for him at Arkansas with the Razorbacks. But it's been a lot of fun watching the Masters. Grant, it's been a lot of fun having you on to talk about everything. Enjoy the rest of this week, and we'll have to do this again soon.
All right. Hey, thanks. I enjoyed it, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Grant. Thank you. Thank you so much. Grant Hall from Northwest Arkansas. And Bryant, he used to host a show in Fayetteville with Rick Schaefer, and it was on Monday nights only, and they'd go like from 5 to 8 o'clock on Monday nights, and I was a faithful listener.
I love that. I love that.
And he wrote for Northwest Arkansas Times and Springdale Paper, and then the Democrat Gazette got into Northwest Arkansas, and Cardinal fan like us.
Yeah, well, hey, yeah, that makes me like him even more when you're a Cardinal fan.
I think it stunned him that I picked him.
Well, you know, Brett, I think it probably should.
Why are people so stunned?
Yeah, it's a great question. They're rolling right now, Brett. I mean,
one out of first place.
That's
one
exactly
game.
Right. That's
all
exactly
important
right.
Loss column.
I mean, I can't argue that. Those are just facts. One of the hottest bats in baseball with Jordan Walker. I mean, man,
my Cy Young winner last night, McGreevy.
I mean, what more could you possibly want from them? But yes, I do think it still comes as a shock to some when they hear that somebody picked them to win the World Series. But let's go ahead and get to another break. When we return, we've got to talk more Masters. We'll give you a Master update, take a look at the leaderboard, who's leading the way, but also some of the other big names and where they're sitting at as we are starting to wrap up day number one at the Masters. We'll do that next on Sports Time.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. And 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Well, at the Masters, the leader, it is 5-under. Sam Burns and Rory McIlroy both tied atop at 5-under. Both complete for their rounds. A lot of guys near the top final. You've got a couple still out there. Justin Rose at 3-under. Scottie Scheffler at 3-under. They both have a lot of holes left to play. So you could see one of those guys, maybe both of them, creep up, maybe overtake that 5-under lead right now. But it has been an interesting day. Some guys finding a lot of success out on the course. A lot of other guys really struggling. And Brett, you mentioned the kind of dry conditions out there earlier in the show. And it really feels like kind of those more veteran players are finding ways to overcome maybe those challenges, and maybe some of these younger, you know, less experienced guys are kind of struggling with that.
Remember a few years ago, Brooks Koepka, he said, I don't think he was being cocky or arrogant. I think it was a fact. When he was at the top of his game, he felt like he only had to beat 8 or 9, 10 people in the whole field. Well, this is even a smaller field than the other three majors. Oh, the big boys love this because this separates the wheat from the chaff. I mean, they like it like this, but everybody's got to play, or the winner's got to play 72, or everybody makes the field's got to play 72. Sam Burns at the top, round one, we know that. Don't make too much out of it. I don't think he is on, he wouldn't be on my list of best players to never win a major. Because remember when we did that for college basketball coaches, and I admitted, there's no wrong list, and I admitted mine for that list or the where that came from, the golf world, I think you have to have a little scar tissue. Mm-hmm. I don't know that Sam Burns has necessarily had that, but one man's scar tissue becomes another one's gaping open wound, and it's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point. I probably wouldn't put Sam Burns up there just because of how young he is. I mean, you know, I think just kind of like Rory McIlroy. I mean, we talked about him all out, and that's a guy has been at the top of the sport, has been one of those marquee names of golf year over year. He's done it at all the other places, just hadn't been able to do it here at the Masters, and Sam Burns really hasn't come close to that type of success. But I don't really know who would be on that list of kind of, you know, next man.
I don't
either. It was a good question that you asked in our last segment.
You know, Phil Mickelson was the leader of that for a long, long, long time. Well, that got tossed away, and I really don't – now I don't know who I would identify. I can't throw Tommy Fleetwood in there again because no scar tissue, no travails, no big Sunday heartbreak. But boy, you go through enough of that, then it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good point. And so, yeah, I don't know who I would put up there. But, you know, I'm sure if we thought long enough, we could probably
Sergio
find
was
somebody.
There. He got
sure.
His.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. But it has been a lot of fun watching all the action today. And, you know, we'll see if Sam Burns is up there. And if he's one of the guys that can ultimately, you know, win a Masters and, you know, not even have to worry about getting to that point.
Grant Hall talked about Jordan Spieth might be the new darling of getting one. He got one 2015. Mm-hmm. We thought that was the first of what, three or four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
He's still holding on that one, and he's had the scar tissue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean he is definitely the one where he was at the top of the game and then really fell off, and a lot of people. Really waiting to kind of see him get back to that point. I think still has a lot of fans around the golf world that would love to see him get up there. I mean, I've got the answer. I think at least Justin Rose. I mean, that's got to be he's got to be up there, right?
Has a U.S. Open,
sure.
But there after last year, that may be it for them.
Yeah. I mean, I just looking at it because I wanted to double check that I wasn't missing any wins, but you know. Three runner-ups and 15 top 25 finishes at the Masters. So, I mean, that's a guy that's been around there and has been very close. And certainly
and that one U.S. Open at Marion now 13 years ago.
That's right, yeah.
And I think he's 45, 46 or so. Better get it done.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting up there, you know, in terms of maybe that kind of prime of you can go out there and win it. So I would, you know, if I'm putting a list, he's somewhere, maybe not at the very top, maybe he's not number one, but he's somewhere probably pretty high up there on my list if I was making that. So the top of the leaderboard, it's a lot of kind of names that that jump out at you. You mentioned it earlier in the show. If you know, there's been a lot of times where not just at the Masters, but you get to you know close to the end of the day one or even end of day one, and you see those names at the top, and you go, man, I've never heard of this guy or that guy. Or you'll have that amateur in the top 10, but you know so far at the Masters, it is big time names. Up at the top, you mentioned Bryson DeChambeau. He has struggled four over for the first round, but he did have his 3D5 iron in the bag today. Pulled it out once and
used it.
So
who doesn't have their handy 3D5 iron?
I mean, everybody's got it. It's their go-to club. But he
choked down on it.
Oh man! And you brought it up yesterday, and I hadn't even known that was a thing. And kind of we said, okay, well, fun to have at the par three, but tomorrow when things are real. But no, he had it in his bag and had it tested and approved, and he'll be, like I said, only used it once today. But if he has to go to that 5-iron, he's got confidence in that 3D5-iron.
To each his own, but
yeah.
That's super weird, isn't it?
No, it's, you know, Brett, I don't think many people are going to argue with you about the weirdness of Bryson DeChambeau. He's different. He for sure is different. But, hey, good for him. And I'm sure he'll have some sort of YouTube video or something, you know, on Monday or Tuesday about creating this, you know, 3D-printed 5-iron, and it'll do a bunch of views, and you know, it'll be a win-win for him.
I really don't want to be a butthead about this. I really don't. But it would be hard for me, as great a story as it would be, just like last year was, I don't know that I can pull for Rory on Sunday for how I know he did Memphis last year. Sure. And if he did it last year, you know he'll do it again this year.
Yeah, no, it's a you know, it's a question you're going to have to ask yourself. But, hey, the beauty of it is a lot can change over the next couple of days. And, you know, he could be up there. He might not be up there. I mean, so,
Rory should be right up there with the contempt and disdain of LeBron right now,
yeah,
by people.
Yeah, no, that's you're right about that. And so we'll see if he's still up there. You know, come this time tomorrow, where is Rory McIlroy sitting? It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be curious how some of these guys adjust their plan going into tomorrow
right,
after they've seen the course once in actual action.
I'd love to get with some of the old-timers and just ask them what. There was a great golf shop in Memphis, great golf guy named Bert Dargy. And Bert's shop was great and legendary, and at Christmas time would always have a keg flowing in the shop. To ask him about a 3D printer, five iron.
Yeah, I mean, man, just gonna,
it would be profanity laced.
Mm-hmm. No, I know it would, and probably should be, but he's different, and he's certainly letting that side of him shine this weekend. But we need to get to another break, wrap up this first hour, and when we return, we're going to talk the NBA. Keith Smith from SpotTrack and the Front Office Show, he joins us next.